Welcome to Limited Lexicon, the podcast where we play through text-based adventure games. I'm your host, KJ, and with me is...
Brian.
Tom.
John.
I'll be playing the part of the computer by reading the text generated by the game, and my co-host will feed me commands as we try to get through today's adventure. Today, we'll be continuing The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, created by Douglas Adams and Steve Merzetsky. Don't panic.
What do we do?
I don't know.
Anything? Do not even know where you are or who you are or how you got there and are not even certain who you are. So in one line, you know where we are? That's what I said before was taste nothing.
You guys can figure this
or
out.
Or taste anything.
Smell?
It does smell a bit. There's something pungent being waved under your nose. Your head begins to clear. You can make out a shadow moving in the dark.
That's so dumb! I'm mad.
Do we want to talk to the shadow?
Grab shadow? Touch shadow?
What is the shadow in this?
Nice try.
Say hello?
Yeah, say hello.
You use the word hello in a way that I don't understand.
Hello?
You can see nothing, feel nothing, hear nothing, taste nothing, and are not entirely certain who you are.
Smell again? I don't know.
It does smell a bit. You can make out a shadow moving in the dark.
Smell again?
It does smell a bit. You can make out a shadow moving in the dark.
Oh, my God.
Okay, wait, there's something under our nose. Can we look?
Dark. You can see nothing, feel nothing, hear nothing, taste nothing.
Smell.
It does smell a bit. You can make out a shadow moving in the dark.
Can we do see?
We just did.
You can
did
hear.
We do that? Oh, you did say lucky, right? Never mind.
You can't hear anything, see anything, smell. Feel anything, or taste anything.
Smell. I don't...
It does smell a bit. You can make out a shadow moving in the dark.
Okay, there's something under our nose and there's shadow. Can we follow the shadow?
But the shadow is right here.
Touch shadow?
Panic.
The shadow turns out to be a solid object of a Ford Prefect-like nature. Vaughan Hold. This is a squalid room filled with grubby mattresses, unwashed cups, and unidentifiable bits of smelly underwear. A door lies to the port, and an airlock lies starboard. Along one wall is a tall dispensing machine. In the corner is a glass case with a switch and a keyboard. It looks like the glass case contains an atomic vector plotter. Ford removes the bottle of Santigrian mineral water, which he's been waving under your nose. He tells you that you are aboard a Vaughan spaceship and gives you some peanuts.
I don't remember any of this.
Take peanuts?
You already have them.
Take vector plotter? Take atomic vector plotter?
The glass case is closed. You begin to feel distinctly groggy.
Open bottle glass of space. Mineral water?
Open glass, I think, or whatever. You want, yeah, one way or the other.
It won't budge. You begin to feel indistinctly groggy.
Ask Ford for bottle?
Unsurprisingly, Ford Prefect doesn't oblige. You begin to feel very indistinct.
Eat peanuts?
You feel stronger, as the peanuts replace some of the protein you lost in the matter transference beam. Ford yawns. Matter transference always tires me out. I'm going to take a nap. He places something on top of his satchel. If you have any question, here's The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Footnote 14. Ford lowers his voice to a whisper. I'm not supposed to tell you this, but you'll never be able to finish the game without consulting the guide about lots of stuff. As he curls up in the corner and begins snoring, you pick up The Hitchhiker's Guide.
Consult 14, footnote 14.
I think it's consult the guide and then
just Ford guide.
Yeah, one way or the other.
What do you want to consult the guide about?
I think that would be footnote 14.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is also the name of a terrific work of interaction fiction by Douglas Adams and S. Eric Meretsky. But then again, you must already know that, since you bought one.
All right. Consult guide on Vaughan.
The guide checks through its sub-Ethernet database and eventually comes up with the following entry. Vaughans, whose specialties are bureaucracy and planet smashing, are the most unpleasant race in the galaxy. They wouldn't think twice about throwing someone into space and wouldn't lift a finger to save their own grandmother from the ravenous bug bladder beast of Tral. Also, see the entries on Vaughan poetry and the ravenous bug bladder beast of Tral.
Oh, the dreaded Vaughan poetry.
Consult guide on Vaughan
poetry. The worst poetry in the universe.
The guide checks through and eventually comes up with the following entry. Vogon poetry is so awful, and even the Sarcopsy of Burfon 12, whose religion strictly forbids the taking of one's life, considers suicide a preferable alternative to a Vogon poetry reading.
Wait, can we consult the guide on the ravenous bug blaster beast of Trall?
Yeah.
The guide checks through its database and eventually comes up with the following entry. The ravenous bug bladder beast of Trall is a mind-boggling stupid animal. It has almost no capacity for learning from experience and is therefore surprised by virtually everything that happens to it. Here is an example of how stupid it is. It thinks that if you can't see it, it can't see you. Its behavior would be quite endearing if it wasn't spoiled by this one thing. It is the most violently carnivorous creature in the galaxy. Avoid, avoid, avoid.
And now I remember that.
Consult guide on plotter.
The atomic vector plotter is one of the primary application devices of improbability physics.
Oh, so we don't want to open it, right? Or
I think we want the plotter to, I don't know.
Who has it right now?
The Vogon in a glass case.
Okay. Should we take the smelly alien underwear?
Oh, Tom.
That's not important. Leave it alone.
Should we take the satchel?
Satchel taken.
Take towel?
Yeah. Oh, gotta take the towel.
Towel taken.
In the corner, can we turn switch? There's a switch and a keyboard by the glass case.
A recording plays.
That was impressive.
Yeah, it was beautiful poetry.
Thanks, guys.
But I think you mispronounced one thing. It's not it's a jiglock.
Oh, sorry about that. I didn't really like jiglock. I like busy a lot.
Yeah, I've taken a class in Klingon, which has nothing to do with this.
And we can't open the glass container.
It won't budge.
Right.
Can we
do something with the keyboard?
Press keyboard, yeah.
Pushing the keyboard has no desirable effect. An announcement is coming over the ship's intercom. Similar banter as before.
Cyrillic?
So let's go to the dispensing machine. Can we operate dispensing machine?
Oh, boy.
Is that one of our words, operate?
I don't think it is.
I don't know the word operate.
Press, run, push.
A single babblefish shoots out of the slot. It sails across the room and through a small hole in the wall, just under a metal hook.
We need that to translate.
Put the babblefish in your ear.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Can we put, we have the babblefish? I think we have to grab the babblefish.
EL.
You can't see any babblefish here.
Pick up babblefish.
No, it's in the hole in the wall.
You can't see any babblefish here.
So we need the metal hook. Put metal hook in hole?
Oh, God.
That's easy for you to say, since you don't even have the metal hook.
Take the metal hook.
What a concept.
Do we have it? I don't think we do. Man, it'd be great if we could read this.
No, we don't have the metal hook?
Nope.
Put
the worm on metal hook. Nope, we don't have a worm. What am I talking about?
Hook pocket fluff. I don't know.
It slips off the hook.
Okay.
What's the thing your aunt gave you?
Put thing on metal hook.
It slips off the hook.
I have no idea.
Toothpaste?
Do we have toothpaste or toothbrush?
Oh, we have a toothbrush. Sorry.
It slips off the hook.
Put towel on hook?
You're not holding the towel.
We're holding a towel. What are you talking about? A towel.
Hold towel?
You already have it.
Put towel on metal hook.
You're not holding the towel. Guards burst in and grab you and Ford, who come slowly awake. They drag you down the corridor to a large cabin, where they strap you into large, menacing chairs. Captain's quarter, in the poetry appreciation chair. This is the cabin of the Vogon captain. You and Ford are strapped into a poetry appreciation chairs. The captain is indescribably hideous, indescribably bulbary, and indescribably mid to dark green. He's holding samples of his favorite poetry.
Put fluff in ear.
You can't put pocket fluff in your ears.
So we missed getting the babblefish, right?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
If he's going to read us poetry, mutters Ford, sweating profusely, just pray he softens us up with cudgels first. The Vogon captain says,
I think we're fine, because we can't understand any of it. Relax, I don't know.
A brave Zen-like effort. It fails. The Vogan captain says, "Oh shoot, Logan."
I'll try to listen.
You have no choice. Why not relax and enjoy it? The Vogan captain says, "Oof,
I guess we'll just keep doing that since we're stuck."
You have no choice. Why not relax and enjoy it? The Vogan captain says, "Oop, oof, and
keep listening."
You have no choice. Why not relax and enjoy it? The Vogan captain says, "Oop,
we're in some part of hell." I'm not even talking about the captain. I'm just talking
Can
about
we look
it.
Around the captain's? Oh, no, we already saw the captain's quarter. Yeah.
Why not? It's nothing else we can do.
The captain quartered in the poetry appreciation chair. This is the cap. This is the cabin of a Vulcan captain. The Vulcan captain says, a guard grabs you and Ford. He drags you towards the hold. Ford whispers, "Don't worry, I'll think of something." Vogan hold. This is a squalid room filled with grubby mattresses, unwashed cups, and unidentifiable bits of smelly alien underwear. The guard releases you and Ford and begins cycling the air in the airlock. "Hey, guard," shouts Ford. "Do you really enjoy this sort of thing? Shouting, stomping around, and shooting people? Is it really a fulfilling career?"
Can we push the button again? The dispensing machine button.
A single babblefish shoots out of the slot. It sails across the room and through a small hole in the wall, just under the metal hook. Ford continues trying to talk to the guard into a sudden career chain.
Put satchel.
It slips off the hook.
Take the satchel.
Satchel taken.
Can we put smelly underwear on hook?
That's easy for you to say, since you don't even have it.
But we can't take it.
Uh-oh.
The guard says, he throws you and Ford into an airlock and closes the door. Airlock.
Oh.
This airlock has massive doors to port and starboard.
Can we open the port door?
You use the word port in a way I don't understand.
Open door.
Which door do you mean, the inner door or the outer door?
Open inner.
It won't budge. Ford points to the outer door. In about 2 minutes, it will open and we'll be ejected into the vacuum of space. But don't panic. I'll think of something.
Can we use the thing that we got that we pressed for hitchhike? Like press the hitchhike button on the sub-ether signaling device?
I think that's how I got out, right?
I don't know the word use.
Wait. In the book, it's just they get ejected and by pure chance a ship.
Yes, the improbability. They're the what's it called? Beeblebrox is traveling in improbability mode. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. So why don't we just get ejected?
Because I think we still have to press a hitchhiker button, do we? No.
I mean, I feel like we're missing the babblefish, and that's a problem. But I also feel like being ejected is.
I thought we got the babbleship on Beeblebrox's ship. I thought Ford gave it to us. I don't even know.
Maybe. What a weird thing to have in the game at this point, then.
Yeah. Can we escape?
Oh, me. Irresponsible.
You are so keen on escaping that you literally leap through the fabric of the space-time continuum. You wake up in a shack on a 10th century Earth. A dressing gown, a toothbrush, and a flat-headed axe lie by your bed. Before you have a chance to move, Mongol hordes sweep magnificently across the plains of Central Asia. They knock down your shack and burn the remains with you inside. You lose interest in the rest of the game. You have died.
So that doesn't ring a bell.
Dark.
Snow.
You can't hear anything, see anything, smell anything, feel anything, or taste anything.
Smell?
It was taste, right?
You can see nothing, feel nothing, hear nothing, taste nothing, smell nothing.
Skip smelling.
There's nothing you can taste, nothing you can see, nothing you can hear, nothing you can feel, and nothing you can smell.
So what changed? Just keep smelling, I guess. I don't know.
You hear nothing, taste nothing, see nothing, feel nothing, and are not even certain who you are.
Okay, so we can keep smelling.
It does smell a bit. There's something pungent being waved under your nose. Your head begins to clear. You can make out a shadow moving in the dark.
I hate this game. Ugh.
Wow.
What did we do? Touch shadows?
Yeah.
The shadow turns out to be a solid object of a Ford Prefect-like nature. Vulcan hold. This is a squalid room. Along one wall is a tall dispensing machine. In the corner is a glass case with a switch and a keyboard. It looks like the glass case contains an atomic vector plotter. Ford removes the bottle of Centenary mineral water, which he's been waving under your nose. He tells you that you are aboard a Vulcan spaceship and gives you some peanuts.
Eat peanuts.
Peanuts. Yeah.
You feel stronger as the peanuts replace some of the protein you lost on the matter transference beam.
Okay, push tall dispensary button. Or dispensary button.
A single babblefish shoots out of the slot. It sails across the room and through a small hole in the wall, just under a metal hook.
Hook down on hook.
Oh, now it makes so much more sense.
You have to remove it first.
Take off gown?
Ooh, get naked.
Okay, you're no longer wearing your gown.
Put gown on hook.
The gown is now hanging from the hook, covering a tiny hole. Ford yawns. Matter transference always tires me out. I'm going to take a nap. He places something on top of his satchel. If you have any questions, here's the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Can we press the button again?
A single babblefish shoots out of the slot. It sails across the room and hits the dressing gown. The fish slides down the sleeve of the gown and falls into the floor, vanishing through the grating of a hitherto unnoticed drain.
Cry.
I don't know the word cry.
Okay, so now we have to cover the drain.
Yeah, we gotta do something to do that.
Put fluff in drain?
You can't put pocket fluff in there.
Put mail in drain?
You can't put a loose pile of junk mail in a drain.
Oh, pick up the towel.
Is it the towel?
Take towel, take satchel.
Towel taken. Satchel taken.
So I guess we put satchel down in the drain?
Put satchel on and drain.
The drain is too large to be covered by a satchel.
Put towel in the drain?
The towel completely covers the drain.
Press button again.
A single babblefish shoots out of the slot. It sails across the room and hits the dressing gown. The fish slides down the sleeve of the gown and falls onto the floor, landing on the towel. A split second later, a tiny cleaning robot whizzes across the floor, grabs the fish, and continues its breakneck pace towards a tiny robot panel at the base of the wall. The robot zips through the panel and is gone.
Like satchel on panel?
Okay. The satchel is lying on its side in front of the tiny robot panel. An announcement is coming over the space's intercom.
Press button.
A single babblefish shoots out of the slot. It sails across the room, hits the dressing gown. The fish slides the sleeve of the gown, falls on the floor, landing on the towel. A split second later, a tiny cleaning robot whizzes across the floor, grabs the fish, continues at its breakneck pace towards the tiny robot panel at the base of the wall. The robot plows into the satchel, sending the babblefish flying through the air in a graceful arc. A small, upper half of the room cleaning robot flies into the room, catches the babblefish, which is all the flying junk it can find, and exits.
Oh my god. I don't...
Can we make more junk? It's cleaning.
Junk mail? Drop.
Can we drop stuff?
Junk mail?
Throw junk mail? Oh no.
Okay, the loose pile of junk mail is now sitting on the satchel.
Okay, can we press the button again?
A single pebblefish shoots out of the slot, hits the gown, falls down the sleeve, lands on the tail, a robot grabs the fish, crashes back to the base of the wall, plows into the satchel, the babblefish goes flying through the air, surrounded by a cloud of junk mail. Another robot flies in and begins to madly collect the cluttering plume of mail. The babblefish continues its flight, landing with a loud squish in your ear.
Yay.
An announcement is coming over the ship's intercom. This is the captain. My instruments show that we've picked up a couple of hitchhikers. I hate freeloaders. And when my guards find you, I'll have you thrown into space. On second thought, maybe I'll read you some of my poetry first. Repeating.
We have to get caught to listen to their poetry, right? That's part of it. And we do have to get thrown out into space. But we also need the device that makes unlikely things likely.
Can we look? I think there's something here, though, right? There's like something on the side, right outside of the jail cell.
I'm trying to figure out how the book went. Yeah.
Vogan Hold. This is a squalid room filled with grubby mattresses, unwashed cups, and unidentifiable bits of smelly alien underwear. A door lies to port, and an airlock lies to starboard. Your gown is hanging from a hook on a towel and is draped over the drain on the floor. There is a satchel here, resting in front of the tiny robot panel. There is a thing your aunt gave you, which you do not know what it is here. Ford is in the corner, snoring loudly. Along one wall is a tall dispensing machine. In the corner is a glass case with a switch and a keyboard. It looks like the glass case contains an atomic vector plotter.
Yeah, do we want the atomic vector plotter? Is the question.
Can we take it? Why not?
Can we take it? Can we break glass?
The hold of the Vogan ship is virtually undamaged by the explosion of the glass case. You, however, are blasted into tiny bits and smeared all over the room. Several cleaning robots fly in and wipe you neatly off the walls. You have died. We are about to give you your score. Put on your peril-sensitive sunglasses now. Your score is 45 of a possible 400 in 65 turns.
10% in 65 turns.
You know, I always liked Douglas Adams' work. Now playing these games, I don't think I'd like him as a person.
Did he authorize this game? Did he actually write it? Or was this
he
just,
did, yes.
He did.
Okay, they wrote another one as well.
I think I knew someone like this in high school.
A single babblefish shoots out of the slot. An announcement is coming over the ship's intercom. This is the captain. Maybe I'll read you some of my poetry.
Right. So can we look again? I'm sorry. Let's not break anything.
Vulgan hold. This is a squalid room. Your gown is hanging from a hook. There is a satchel here. Ford is in the corner, snoring loudly. Along one wall is a tall dispensing machine. In the corner is a glass case with a switch and a keyboard. It looks like the glass contains an atomic vector plotter.
Okay. So let's take the thing that our aunt doesn't, we don't know what that is.
Yeah, I guess.
Examine.
Take thing?
Thing taken.
We can't take everything again, right? Like, do we want to take everything back?
Well, my guess is that somehow the switch and keyboard open up the glass case, and we need an atomic vector plotter for some reason. In the book, what happens is they do catch us. They do start reading the poetry, and we don't compliment them sufficiently. So they throw us into space, and we get picked up by the president of the galaxy's ship that he stole.
Beetlebrox,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Beetlebrox.
Yeah, Beetlebrox. And that's what happens.
And Zoe Deschanel.
Yeah.
I guess she's in the movie. I haven't seen the movie. Yeah.
No, they wrote that in the book.
Oh, they wrote Zoe Deschanel.
Yeah.
Made it much more interesting.
Yeah, 20 years before she was born. should we try and switch?
News switch?
Turn switch?
A recording plays. To open the case, type in the second word from the second verse of the captain's current favorite poem. Warning, an incorrect input will cause the case to explode. Guards burst in and grab you and Ford, who come slowly awake. They drag you down the corridor to a large cabin, where they strap you into a large, menacing chairs. Captain's quarter, in the poetry appreciation chair. This is the cabin of the Vogon captain. You and Ford are strapped into poetry appreciation chairs. The captain is indescribably hideous, indescribably blubbery, and indescribably mid to dark green. He is holding samples of his favorite poetry.
From the second verse of the captain's current favorite poem. Was that on, like, did that actually trigger this happening, or did we just run out of time?
I don't know.
Well, whatever, we got what we need.
We say, yeah, we're not dead yet.
Yep.
Yeah.
We didn't explode.
Can we ask for poetry?
That sentence isn't one I recognize.
Ask the captain for poetry?
No.
One of the guards lightly bashes your skull with the butt of his weapon. This is a poetry appreciation session, prisoner. No talking. It is, of course, well known that careless talk costs lives, but the full scale of the problem is not always appreciated. Please pick your words with greater care.
Wait?
Time passes. If he's going to read us poetry, mutters Ford, sweating profusely, just pray he softens us up with some cudgels first. Hello, hitchhikers, begins the Vogan captain. I've decided to read you a verse of my poetry.
You can rate and review this show anywhere fine podcasts are available. For those viewing in YouTube land, if you haven't already, please like this video, subscribe to the Talking Studios channel for all our exciting content, and follow us on social media at Talking Studios. Check out other shows by Talking Studios, including Talking Pictures Trivia, where we explore movies through trivia, Keep Making Movies, where we explore micro-budget films, Get the Point,
where we slowly reveal a movie poster and try to guess which movie poster it is. And Adapt It, where we explore adaptations in various forms. Got a question for us? Call the Talking Studios hotline at 201-467-8679 and leave a message. It may be featured on a future episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Limited Lexicon, wherever fine podcasts are found.
Wow, Talking Studios,